Hey Wargamers, welcome back to the channel Death From Above Wargaming. I'm Aaron and I am here with Tom and Dom on another wonderful Sunday morning to bring you episode 4 of Jump Point, the most controversial show in the Inner Sphere. So we're here to talk about an exciting topic demanded by our viewers. We're going to talk about Grognards and Gatekeepers. This episode may be extremely hilarious. It may upset some of you. So viewer
discretion. Might be the one that gets us canceled, Aaron.
Is advised. That's right. We might get canceled. So we really are going to talk about, though, the hobby in general and how inviting it is and how or potentially uninviting it may be, and sort of some habits and things around that. So we are going to start with our rapid fire segment. We're going to keep it a little bit lighthearted here. So in our rapid fire, I have two word associations for you. First thing I'm going to do is I want to say a word, and you're going to tell me the first word that comes to your mind. We're going to go Tom and then Dom. You can't hesitate. You just got to tell me the first thing that comes to your mind. All right. If it is inappropriate, I will bleep it out for you in post-production. So first thing that comes to your mind, you have to say it. All right. You ready? First word is Grognard. Tom.
Beard.
Dom.
I was going to say beard as well.
That's
chips
fine.
In beard.
It's like beard. All right. This is the second word. Gatekeeper. Tom. The first thing that comes to mind.
Wizard.
Okay. Dom.
Oh my God. I've got no idea. Gatekeeper. Keymaster.
Yes. Ooh. Well done.
I am the keymaster.
I am the keymaster. Well done. All right. The third rapid fire question. Would you rather own a beat up late model Panther or a brand new shiny protomech? Tom.
I almost spit my drink all over my camera. Because of my avowed love for protomechs, a protomech. I can't go back now.
You can't go now. Yeah. Dom.
Panther all day, baby.
Yep. All right. All right. Last rapid fire question. How often do you shave? Tom.
Oh, like once. I actually just like fully, like really shaved. So with the buzzers, like every 2 weeks to a month. And then a real shave, probably like once every quarter. When I feel like real gross, but
right.
I don't grow hair. It's very odd. It's weird.
As one of the few clean shaven men in the hobby, I shave every day.
Every day. Beautiful. All right.
I was going to say, I think it's a relic of my, my space birth, you know, in a tube, my clanner.
It's true. Yeah. Just inconsistent facial hair. All right. So the next segment is one we haven't done in a while, but I thought it was very appropriate. What, you're asking about my shaving habits?
Yeah.
I mean, it depends. It's when like the gray starts to overwhelm the black. That's when I take it back down. All right. So we're going to do the comment of the month next. Now, I thought this comment was particularly appropriate based on the topic at hand. Now, in our last episode, we talked a little bit about Classic and the series that we did over the summer. This was a comment on one of those videos. It was Blaster CA that wrote this comment. And he said, "Classic Battletech without hexes isn't classic Battletech. Dope false advertising. Simply referring to Battletech with miniatures rules as classic is not accurate. Yada, yada, yada. Two different things, therefore titled very separately." Now, this spawned a great classic internet flame war between not only myself and Blaster CA, but other folks who chimed in and were arguing like, dude, that's semantics. And he was holding the line on that. And listen, everyone's entitled to their opinion, and I respect you for that. But this is the kind of mentality that I think we want to focus in on today, right? So I thought it was a very appropriate comment. So Blaster, congratulations on winning the comment of the month. Well done.
You are so mean.
Now, I would like to point out, though, that on the internet, not all things are bad. There are some great things as well. And I would like to bring to you a new segment here on Jump Point where we feature a painted miniature from somebody on Discord. And this one is from our patron, Paulus. And Paulus delivered unto us what I thought was a very cool Atarian Concordat Red Chaucer's Crusader. So I'm going to bring up that picture here.
Isn't that a nice little tree?
There she blows. All right. So he painted this very, very cool. And I'll bring this up to full screen here so we could just take a quick look. I just wanted to show this off. I absolutely loved the flames on this thing. Very, very cool. It's not, you know, like I feel like it reminded me of Legion of the Damned from 40K. Mm. Remember those dudes with the flames, right? Yeah, and they had the skull masks.
Very well done, because he's got the color scheme on it perfect with the bright in the center. And then, yeah. Very, 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 very slick.
Yeah, I thought it was a cool way and to kind really of hard. Spice up a black mech, right? Like if you know, because you know, there are a lot of battle mechs in the universe where they just paint them jet black or whatever, and it on the table it doesn't always translate as well. So I thought this was very, very cool. So anyway, just wanted to show this off. There are so many amazing miniatures in our Discord and in the painting section. So if you're not on there, you should definitely check it out. All of our patrons get on there as well. They have access to special channels and things along those lines. So anyway, thank you, Paulus, for allowing me to share this very, very cool miniature. Now, let's get into our Ready Room Roundtable. First question. Do new players have to respect what came before? Is gatekeeping, right? Is this sort of mentality where you have to, you know, you have to understand and know everything that happened before now? Is it necessary to preserving the integrity of Battletech? So Dom, why don't I start with you, and then Tom will go to you as Tom looks deep in thought there. So Tom, you can hold your thoughts while Dom divulges his inner opinions here on gatekeeping.
I really think that on this, you do need to respect that the game comes from a place of history. There is there's an element to it which has been built up over many years that absolutely needs to be respected. But I also think that the respect runs both ways, and that the respect has to be also shown to new generations as well, and that they don't necessarily think like people did back in, you know, 1986. Things have evolved, gaming systems have evolved. And I think that a lot of the problems that come about are just due to bad communication, because as with most things in life, I think that is generally the case. So if both people are willing to, or both sets of people are willing to meet halfway, and people of like our generation and maybe older can accept that, that things have to evolve in order for things to survive. Because, you know, if they didn't, I mean, you know, back in the 80s, it was completely plausible to play Battletech with bottle tops and card standees. If you really want to kind of get out there and develop that market and get more people involved, you have to have a miniatures company now. It's just the way it is. So with that, it attracts different focus and different groups of people who want to play it.
Yeah. Tom, what do you think? Do players have to respect what came before? Is that important to the integrity of the game? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, well, I would want to divide my answer between two parts, right? One is like in-person community spaces, right? Like established games at a game store, those kind of places. And in that case, I think gatekeeping and I think having discretion around maintaining what you have is appropriate. New players shouldn't expect to come in and dictate anything or be allowed to, or you have the moral ground there. But in like online and in terms of the way that they play, the way that they enjoy the fandom, nobody, you know, as long as you're not trying to impose how you want to play it on somebody else, in their space, then I have no problem with it. And I think, that's one of the best things. Like the way, I mean, when all these like painters came in that seemed to come maybe from like a 40K Golden Demon.
Right.
And all of a sudden, the level of paint just like skyrocketed.
Yeah.
That's awesome. You know?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. No, you make a very good point about and it sort of ties into some comments we made in our last episode about, you know, the sort of the diversity of the rule set, all the different ways to play, all the different optional rules, right? And that is, you know, in my opinion, a little problematic because there's no one correct way to play. So there is, I think, maybe a little bit of gatekeeping required to keep things on the rails. Otherwise, sure, maybe you do get too much fracturing. And so that's a very interesting point that you made. But let's talk a little bit about exclusivity in gaming. And, you know, I want to first focus, this is sort of a two-parter. The first one really is around the old versus the new, classic versus Alpha Strike. You know, people who are like, I'd never play Alpha Strike, or I'd never play Classic, I would never do X, right? Is that problematic on both sides? You know, what do you think? So, Tom, let's start with you, and then Dom, we'll get you to weigh in on that. Tom, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, first off, I think that's a prop. What am I trying to say here? That's their burden to bear. They're the ones that are missing out, and they should rethink that the way that they like process information, right? If you are proactively restricting your availability of fun, that's just wrong. If you found a community group of other players and they just happen to play a different rule set, for me, the more important thing would be to be able to play, rather than saying, oh, well, I guess I'm just going to go back home and, you know, not play. Right. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I don't get it. I'm also not like a super picky player in that way. Like I love all games and all things. Like I'll play almost anything at least once.
Equal opportunity gamer.
Yeah, maybe
That would be a great t-shirt.
But I can understand. Yeah, that's a good one. But maybe people just like loathe a thing, and then I guess, you know, that's their prerogative. But for me, if they're just doing it out of like some weird, you know, thing, they should give it a try.
Yeah,
at least once.
Dom, what do you think?
Yeah, I think, I mean, Tom makes a very, very good point there, that this is to do with someone's own kind of personal ethos on life, really. The one thing I would say, though, is that the custodians or the gatekeepers, whatever you want to call them, in this case, it's Catalyst when it comes to the tabletop game, part of their duty is to make sure that the evolution of the game kind of works for the biggest percentile of the audience. So they're not just there to kind of cater to the old players. They're not just there to cater to the new players. They need to do the research. And I think if that is the case, and we've, you know, the analogy you could use is almost like the Goldilocks analogy of the porridge being too hot and too cold. And that's what kind of Classic and Alpha Strike is, right? Like if people think Classic is too detailed and Alpha Strike is too quick, and there's kind of this, and, you know, ultimately that's what DFA have done. You've created the perfect porridge, but, you know, the
override the is way Goldilocks.
There you go. So the Goldilocks zone of gaming, yeah. But what I'm trying to get at is there that it's their responsibility, really, to make sure that that works, as opposed to, you know, creating something that's so, like, not appropriate for the community or that causes so much division. And I think that is the mistake they made with Alpha Strike to some extent, is they just simplified it too much. They went too far in that direction, and we could now be sat on a really nice, like, codified, like, version of Battletech that kind of is caters to a modern audience but doesn't forget its heritage and still maintains the respect from where it came from.
Yeah. So follow up to this would be, and Tom, I and both you guys make really good points.
Pro gatekeeping,
You know, but what about the other way around? So, for example, new guy comes into the store, a bunch of Battletech fans are there. There's that one guy who refuses to play Alpha Strike. New player's like, hey, I just got the Alpha Strike box set. Why don't we try that on Tuesday night instead of our normal classic game? It's like, no, get out of town. Alpha Strike sucks, right? You know, hypothetical scenario. You know, is that problematic behavior, or to your earlier comment where it's like, hey, this is the rules of the store? Because, you know, when I talk to folks in the community, you know, whether it's on Discord or whatever, you know, there's always like that guy, that is very, you know,
start your own night.
Right. So is that problematic? And, you know, how do you deal with that, you know, when you're coming into sort of a, you know, a group, or if that guy is in your group and you just deal with it because you don't feel like dealing, you know, directly dealing with it. So like, is that a problem? And what should we do about that? Right. So Tom, let's start with you. Tom's triggered. I can tell. So we're going to start with you.
I think new players should tread lightly, personally. Okay. And not try to impose. Like, imagine a new player, like a D&D night at a game store. They've been playing the same campaign for like 3 months, and he's like, "We should start over." You know, like, I would throw that person out a window. I would defenestrate them, as the term is.
Defenestrate. Very good. Well done.
Very good. Excellent.
Thank you. Yeah. No. I think new players, like, again, if you want to play alpha and they're playing bat, like, start your own night. Don't expect them to accommodate you. Like, that bothers me a lot. Like, but at the same time, like, if the group of people, like, they don't have a direction, they're just kind of sitting around. The guy's like, "Why don't we try this?" You know, you can't just be mean to them because they're a new player. Even though I guess also,
They're playing something you don't like, right?
Yeah.
But it is a difficult problem. So Dom, what do you think?
Yeah, I think it is all situational as well. Like,
who's willing to put in the work?
Right, exactly. I mean, like, for me, and I'm kind of one of those people that will just buy everything and let people just play, you know, like at my house and on my tables or whatever else, and that's obviously quite popular because it saves people a ton of money. So if somebody came to my house and was like trying to dictate terms, I'd be like, yeah, that's not happening. But likewise, if they came in with like new ideas, I like to think that I'm malleable enough to be like, yeah, that's actually a really good idea. Or, of course, we can just play rules written classic just to show you how it works or whatever without any, you know, extra rules. But I think ultimately, I think Tommy's right. I think if you are new to any social situation, obviously you have to tread slight. It's like having a new job, right? You're not just going to go into a new job and be like, I'm going to tell you all what to do. This is da da da. Like, people are not going to react to that at all. And the same,
in any work of life.
People do it. Absolutely, they do.
All right. I'm not sure we gave anybody a good answer here. But I think
Dom's answer.
Yeah, you like Dom's answer. All right. Well, leave it in the comments on what you guys think. I'm always interested to hear about your opinion on you know how to handle those types of situations when you want to do things slightly differently, or somebody comes in with a you know very radical idea, however it's sort of presented. How to sort of handle those things. But I do want to sort of close on this. So there's like the sort of the Grognard archetype where it's like, I don't want to play a new game, right? And that's okay. And we sort of talked about that. But then there are the sort of Grognards that I think have found ways to abuse the rules as they stand and refuse to concede on these things. So for example, one of my favorite stories, I don't remember if this was in the comments or on Discord or on Patreon, but someone was telling me a story about this guy at their local gaming store. Maybe it was in a tournament even. He was running chargers and he was running them at 8 gunnery and 0 piloting. All right. So they're dirt cheap because your charge, Tom's like, why? Because all they have is 5 small lasers, right? The basic charger. And they were using the piloting skill. They would never miss a charge. They would never miss a physical attack, right? And the battle value on that is very, very good. You know, maybe they were 8-2s or something. But regardless, the point is playing that way is just not fun. You know, and some folks may say like, well, you know, that's the game. You can do it. But like, if anybody brought that crap to my table, like, I would smash their miniature, right? Like, that's just not in the spirit of the game. It's not... It's ridiculous, right? So that's my opinion on it. Curious to know what you guys think, how you would handle those types of situations. It's the same thing as the people that bring the awesomes that are gunnery 0 and piloting 8, right? And just sit them and camp them in the woods and just, you know, nuke people. So very curious, you know, what you guys think about that, how you would handle it. And then we'll wrap up this round table. So Tom, why don't we start with you again, since you're on a hot streak. Tell me what you think.
It's really whose game is it, right? If a new player comes in and is like, I want to run this 8-0 thing, you know, whoever is putting in the time to organize it should have the discretion to say that they either allow it or don't. Personally, I'm on your side. Like, there's a spirit of the rules, and like, if you can't defend that, like, that would never exist. It would never exist. There's no world, just like running no heat sinks or something like that, just to like, do, you know, it's just, it's not a right way to play the game. Even if you can make it work in the builder. Yeah. So that would be mine. But if you come into, if you're trying to join somebody's game and they're like, this is how we play, you know, it's just, you know, you either have to accept it and, you know, you can make your argument, but you can't try to dictate to them. If that's the crazy way that they play the game, you know, you just got to find.
So, move on. Yeah, no, I think that's fair. And
is that consistent, you know, with what I already said? I don't know.
It is, but you know, I'm not buying it because I think a lot of people are in these game stores and there's no referee. There's no general. There's nobody that's setting up the game. They show up to play and some dude comes to the table with this garbage. And like, I guess you have the right to your point to say, yeah, you know what? I'm not interested in playing, and you pack your stuff up and go home. But at the same time, like, you know, I think that has a negative effect on the hobby. And I'm going to, before you answer, I'm going to pontificate for a moment. I think part of the problem here is that, you know, you don't see this in other games. You don't really see this in Warhammer. You don't see it in War Machine or Infinity, right? Because they, and yes, there's a cycle of infinite codexes and patches and errata, but they're actively trying to fix these problems, right? And this ties into what we talked about last week or 2 weeks ago, rather, about, you know, the rules being 35 years old. There could be a very simple rule that says, you know, your piloting cannot, you know, be plus or minus two from your gunnery. Simple. Codify it. Put it in the rules. There are so many things that could be fixed, I think.
Fix the loophole. Yeah.
Just fix the loophole. And I think a lot of this stuff goes away because you're right, Tom. There is no universe where somebody can drive the living crap out of their mech, but can't hit the broadside of a barn. Like nobody goes through Mech Warrior Academy and comes out like being that bad at shooting. Right?
Zero. Yeah.
All right. So Dom, I know I took some of your time up, but closing thoughts on that.
I'm British. Spirit of the game is everything to me. So I think we just leave it there because it's not cricket in with bad attitude. Yeah. There you go.
It's not cricket. Yeah, I'm with you on spirit of the game. That stuff drives me nuts, and I think those people are toxic to any gaming community. Anyway, but speaking of grognards, in our render blender today, I picked what I like to believe is the most grognardy of designs. Speaking of the charger, it is in fact the luxurious 8-0 gunnery piloting charger 3K. So this is a brand new design. Actually, this one has an LRM on it, so you're going to need some gunnery skill for this guy. But Tom, let's talk about this one. I'm going to bring it up full screen. I got three. I got three renders here. I got the front, the thirst pick, as you call it, and then another view here. So let's start here. What do you think about this guy?
This picture looks like a big old teddy bear, doesn't it?
That's exactly what I was thinking. Big teddy bear.
He looks very huggable. His chest SRMs open up and you just get decimated. Great design. Especially that part. The way that it's opened up, revealing the missile bays. The helmet, super cool. Great visor. Great shoulders. Great, like the weird stubby gun. I kind of love it. It reminds me of, like, you know, in those sort of gangster movies where the dude pulls out his like his Derringer gun. No,
oh yeah,
and he ends up like killing the bad guy after you think he's dead. So I love it. Great design. Move on to the next pick, the thirst trap pick.
Thirst trap.
Great. This really shows off the awesome shoulders. He shouldn't be so modest, hiding that derriere with those with that sort of Roman guard. I don't know what you call them. Great design.
I like the jump jets. Funny you said awesome shoulder pads. They actually look very much like the awesome. Now that you said that I never really noticed that before.
The awesomes bend in at the top right a little bit.
They do. I think they're a little thinner
so
as well.
So I like how they're front there. It'd actually be cool if they could like rotate to the front. That'd be really cool. But yeah, it's great. It's a super cool. I'm never a huge fan of that style gun. The longer,
same.
Like,
the handhelds. Oh, you no, mean that? You mean this arm?
Yeah.
Oh, I like that. Yeah. I don't like the handheld ones myself. I think that's
guns.
I think it's so silly for battle mechs. I mean, it's a thing of the, you know, it's an artifact of the you know, the Robotech style, yeah. Right? And then they had like the rules for ejectable hand weapons and all or whatever. Remember, they could like drop them and replace them.
Heck yeah.
But you know, they tried to like write lore around it to make it, you know, make sense of it. But I was never a huge fan of the handheld guns. But anyway, yeah, this is a good one. I'm excited to get this one in the Kickstarter. I believe this is the 3K is the one that's coming in the Kickstarter.
You know what,
right?
That gun looks like, yeah, that gun looks like those Navina Neutrogena lip balms. But go on, sorry.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
A little bit.
The blue cap. Yeah. It's a Euro thing. I don't know if they have it in the US, but yeah.
God help us.
Yeah, just to answer Aaron's question, this is the 3K. This is Jeremiah Rose's charger. There is a standard charger, which is just the famous one with the five pop guns. That will be in one of the like the standard packs. But this one's in one of the legendary packs, I think.
You're right. This is in the legendary. Good call, Dom. Good call. Yeah. So I would keep you on the show. You know all of these things. Brilliant man. Speaking of brilliance, though, why don't we wrap this one up? So a couple of things. Number one, Ares Games and Minis, definitely check it out. Get all the minis, dice, books, terrain, all the great things that you need for your Battletech addiction over at Ares Games and Minis. And then secondly, as we had asked, leave a comment. Tell us what you think about all of these things. Controversial topics, I know, but really want to see what you guys think. Maybe it's not a problem. Maybe it's isolated to certain areas, certain game stores, but very curious what your experience is, how you handle it. Or if, in fact, you are a Grognard or Gatekeeper, it's okay. You can let us know. Tom has a helpline that you can call for that. And if you want to, get more involved in the channel and get Tom's personal cell phone to call him for help, you can join Patreon. It's as little as $1 a month, although that doesn't get you Tom's cell phone, but that does that does help out the channel. So we do appreciate it, and thanks to all of our great patrons out there for helping us to keep the lights on. But that's it. That's all I've got. Thank you so much for watching, and of course, stay tuned. Always great stuff coming from Death from Above Wargaming. Have a great day.